Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and today we are offering you a Billy Brim classic, one that was made years ago in my ministry. I trust it'll bless you.
The whole Bible and plan of God calls the church unto glory. There are three groups of peoples. 1 Corinthians 10:32, God sees on the earth the Jews, the nations, and the church of the living God, the ecclesia. You know what the word ecclesia means? A gathering. We are a gathering. We're a harvest. We're a body unto Him. Now, this church, this ecclesia, has a place that the others don't have, really. And we won't go into all of it right now, but I simply want to look in the letters, for all the Bible is for you, all the Bible is to you. God can speak to you from any place in the Bible, but the part that's particularly about you is the letters. Tell you who you are in Jesus. Tell you about the rapture. It's so easy to read in Thessalonians about the rapture and not be mixed up, unless somebody writes you a book and goes over in and gets some of the somebody that believes that the church has replaced Israel, and then they get scriptures from Israel mixed up with and then you don't get a rapture. And I heard one person say you could go up 6 inches, but I want to go higher than 6 inches. Bless the Lord. Now, for the church, our call. Woo! Glory to God. I'd like to be able to get this over to you. That book he prophesied to me about, I think I'm going to write a book and put all this in it. Bless the Lord. Now, that call to the church is unto glory. Period. And we're just going to look at a few little, we'll call these text scriptures. Now, we'll look at 2 Thessalonians 2:14 first. Say glory every now and then. You get what you say. 2 Thessalonians. I got 1 Thessalonians, and both of it says it. Whew, I didn't even know that myself. Thank you, Lord. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2. Whew! I just looked up one little proof text, and it's practically the same in both the Thessalonian books. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. Second Thessalonians 2:14. Now, folks, this is the gospel. I'm going to show you tonight that glory is not a side issue. Hallelujah. Nor is wealth. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Well, you've heard people say, don't touch the glory. Well, now, you can't take credit in that sense of the glory for what God does. You give Him the glory for that all. My husband used to say, Billy, anything I do bad, do you blame me? Anything I do good, you give glory to God. Terry knows my son's here. He's dad liked to get a little glory now and then. He was a Cherokee Indian, and he liked to have all his family around his table on Saturday morning. We all would sit down and hear his tales of glory. It always reminded us of how they used to sit around the campfires. And these tales he would tell, in which he was always the hero. Now, people that knew Kent and knew me, they thought that I was the one who talked all the time and Kent was quiet. Not at home. And he was telling how he ran the touchdown fastest, farthest, quickest. He was a great runner and a great sports guy. And we heard all these stories over and over. And he'd come to a certain point and he'd look each one of the kids in the eye. What do you think of your old dad? And he loved antiques. He didn't look like he loved antiques, but he loved antiques and he loved china. And he loved to get wonderful buys. And he would go into another part of the house and bring out something that he'd got a wonderful find. And show it all around the table. And go through the story for the 900th time we heard how he found this and got the best price. You know. You can't take that kind of glory. We told Kent, the girls used to tell him, he loved his family so much they could say this to him. Daddy, you're not going to have any reward in heaven. You're taking it all down here. So, you can't take that kind of glory. That goes to God. But the glory I'm going to talk about tonight, you're called to it. And you're called to obtain it. Not have it as a wispy dream out there, unattainable by any human ever walked the earth. But the church is called to obtain that glory and walk worthy of God. In the Old Testament, it's somewhere like Isaiah 41 or 42. He says, I will not share my glory with another. But he's talking about idols. And he's not going to share his glory with false gods. Forget it. God is not tolerant of false gods. He doesn't want you to open this place to Muslim meetings and Buddha meetings. He is a jealous God. So he said, I will not share my glory with another. Once we were up in a meeting and we were kind of away from things up in Canada, and it was a real meeting, you know, where you know you're really from God, you're there, and we were talking about glory, and the Lord brought this forth in a song. I've forgotten how the tune of it went, and it said, you have heard that it hath been said, I will not share my glory with another, but you are not another. And we sang that song for about 2 hours. It was given, the people picked it up, and we were inundated with the glory of God. We had to begin to see who we were. Hallelujah. Now, I want to define our terms biblically on glory, because God means what he means. And if you'll come and help me here, I'm going to show you some things about the word glory in the Bible. Of all the words in the Bible, 8,000, and of all the words in the Hebrew language for a modern language today, 100,000, 200,000, there's only 241 root words. It's a mathematical language, very mathematical. And every one of these 241 root words has a... Now, folks, this is a root. See, even the language grows. Everything in the Bible is seed time root. See, the language, they say, the Hebrew language grows, and it grows out of a root. Now, here is a root word, just to show you how they work, because I don't have a wheel on the word glory. I'm just going to tell you about the words that come from glory, but I'm showing you the wheel of a root and how it works. Oh, I wish I had time to show you complete and whole and all that that means, because it fits in here too. You could preach the gospel almost from every root word. Now, this is the most well-known root word of all. And you see here
the three letters. They only use consonants. And this is the most well-known word in the whole world, and it's the word amen. It's the root word amen, and it has the meaning of confirm, support, true, faithful, strong, and its literal meaning, may this prayer come true. Now, whenever somebody's preaching and they say something horrible, like, isn't the devil getting the best of our children? And people say, oh man, you know, like, this is so. I never say it. Even if they say it, let me hear some amens, I don't. I am not going to say, may this prayer come true. Agreement is power. We're talking about power. Now, you know how over in the New Testament it says that if you speak with tongues over your food, you give thanks well? Howbeit, how shall someone else say amen at your giving of thanks? To me, things don't become rote. I'm thinking what's happening here. I'm saying my prayer over my meal. And somebody else at this table, if they say amen, see, that was important to God. It's agreement. It's the power. It's really important, or God wouldn't even have said that in the New Testament, would he? And so he said, how shall they say amen? How shall they say, may this prayer come true? Now, just by adding vowel sounds, Hebrew's main thing is consonants. Every time you see a word that's built from that shoresh, that root, the vowels are around it, but every Hebrew who can read can see the root. And you never lose the root meaning. And so some of the words that grow from this, just by vowel sounds, are emunah, faith. These are the things it takes to make a prayer come true. And they're told to us in the family of words. Emunah, faith, believed, has to be built on emet, truth. Has to have yamin. You remember how his name is Benjamin, Benyamin, the son of my right hand? It has to have the strong right hand of God. And so in a family of words, you can see God's everywhere. He showed them. Now, I don't have time to... Well, actually, this book, this textbook that I'm showing you here, did not give us the wheel for glory. But it comes from this word right here, which is kabed, and this is heavy. The root word is heavy. Kabod. When you say glory, you say heavy. Now, the opposite of it is kal, light. Now, we might think light is good, but not in the Bible. Heavy is good. Heavy is glory. And so this is a textbook from a schoolroom. So it gives you kabod, and it says heavy, hanging down. Another word that comes from it is the liver, because it's our heaviest organ. Honor comes from it, weightiness. In English, we speak of a weighty matter as being more important. You better be careful when you ask somebody to marry you, because according to this, it comes from that root word, and it's a heavy matter. This proposition of marriage. And then you come to offer refreshment. You do honor. It means precious. It's weighty. You would naturally expect the reverse to be true. That which means light in weight would be naturally come to mean to be lightly esteemed. And so to dishonor is to esteem something lightly. To honor is to give it great importance.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I hope you enjoyed the classic that you heard today. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 if you would like to have a copy of it on CD. Shalom, shalom.